Welcome back to Talkville, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. If this is your first time and you came in the middle of season two, well, you're going to fit in. You're going to figure it out. You're going to figure out what we're doing here. We got Tom Welling via California somewhere. I can't tell you where, but it's somewhere in California. That narrows it down. We got Ryan Taylor.
We have snow. We have snow. That's
you
for sure.
You do have snow. Whoa. So figure that out. Where is he? He's got to be somewhere a little north.
Or east.
Ah, yeah. So what we do here is we go through every episode, good or bad. Last week wasn't a great one, but before that, we had two great ones. We rewatch everyone. We talk about it. We go over it. Ryan has favorite scenes that we try to guess. Tom's got the last, I think, three of four. It hasn't been going well for me. I think I was a little cranky last episode. Did you feel that?
A little crankosaurus?
It's the first time that I left and I go, I kind of felt like I was a dick maybe last show.
Last show.
No, I just felt like it was too much negative. I was trying to, you got to, you know, accentuate the positive, eliminate
the negatives. Classic wartime tune.
Well, you started the last podcast with, all right, Tom's going to start interrupting me now. And I was like, oh, all right.
And you did.
Okay.
At Talkville Podcast on Facebook, if you want to follow us, at Talkville Podcast on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, and at Talkville Pod on the Twitter. Make sure you subscribe. It really helps. If you're liking this podcast, look, I'll just say, if you like something and you want it to keep going, then do a few simple things. One, just keep watching. Two, subscribe and follow us. That really helps. Write a review is huge. And if you really, really want to help keep this podcast going, you can go to patreon.com/Talkville and become a patron and give back to the podcast. We give shout outs at the end of every episode. There's tons of different stuff you get. We get Smallville or Talkville After Dark. We do a little segment every month, meet Tom and I, and there's a lot of other cool stuff. And also you might want to check out the Talkville Podcast website, talkvillepodcast.com. You can get cool artwork, original autographed stuff from me and Tom. Tom, I see people wearing all that stuff at the cons, like the Talkville shirts and the hats and sweatshirts. You got your Talkville hat. Oh, yeah, dog. Yeah. And I like it. I like seeing people support the podcast, and we appreciate that. And anyway, you can go to YouTube, Talkville Podcast, or on the handles and check out what's going on. All the information is down in the show's description. And without further ado, let's climb into it. Let's get into season two, episode 10. This is Skinwalker. Skinwalker, November 26, 2002. Director Marita Grabiak. Writers Brian Peterson and Kelly Souders, who would go on to run the show. Patrick Cassidy's back as Henry Small. Tamara Feldman as Kyla Willowbrook. Gordon Tootoosies as Joseph Willowbrook. Synopsis: Clark accidentally stumbles into a cave full of hidden treasures, including cave drawings that could hold the key to his identity and a girl who may be his soulmate. Lex gets enlisted for help from Clark to help preserve the cave and its mysteries before Lionel demolishes it during his new construction project. Well, you know.
I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for it. You want me to go first?
Yeah, I do.
I like this episode. I thought it wasn't the most dynamic shot thing we've ever done, except for the big explosion with that. That was cool. But I thought all the cast was good and a lot of sort of little intricacies that, I don't know, kind of added up. Maybe not. I really like the Lex Lionel stuff. I like the way that played. And I enjoyed it. It's worth watching. And it has the worst set we ever had to work in. The caves were the worst. So
that was really, I found old videos of me in the caves. Not happy. I should post it. It's me in the caves. Like, we've got another day in the caves. I can't breathe. The smoke, the dust, it was a lie.
I remember one time, because we were still shooting film and film is expensive. And I remember, I don't know if it was you or me, but it got to the point where we were like, roll the cameras and then I'll walk into the cave and start the scene. And they're like, well, we can't do that. Because you'd go into the cave and you couldn't breathe. It was hot. It was humid.
Oh my God.
You couldn't breathe. There was all this stuff coming off the wood chips that were there. It was, and then say cut, and all the actors would just sprint out the side of the cave to get fresh air. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was not good. Brief play-by-play. We could chime in anytime. Tom, feel free to interrupt me. The episode starts at Luther Corp job site prepping construction on a new plaza. On the site, Joseph Willowbrook arrives to protest the construction because it's infringing on his people's land. We see this all too many times across the country. The foreman in charge tells him he's trespassing and to get the hell out. Later that night, as the foreman prepares to leave the site to go home, he's attacked by a ferocious white wolf. In the attack, the foreman shoots off a flare gun, which ignites nearby gas and sends the entire job into flames. And you know something? It's something that happens in Smallville a lot. A lot of explosions, which is fine.
Yeah.
Explosions are cool.
Yeah.
Tom?
Explosions are cool. I thought there was a big one. There's a little, after the episode, I realized that the way the wolf notices the gas and kind of looks around, there's a telltale sign right there that it's a human in there. And then you're like, oh, it's called skinwalkers. Oh, I see. You just don't know who it is. And they make you think it's the chief, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
And just the way the wolf was casually just watching the explosion, just like, just like any kind of Smallville. Not, I don't know what I would say. It wasn't a villain really, but yeah.
Yeah. Watching what he had done. The next day, Clark and Pete are tearing it up, riding bikes through the forest. After hitting a couple of jumps, Clark veers off a different path and ends up falling through the floor of the woods and into a cave system below.
You must have loved that.
Now, I didn't mind. You know what bothered me? I mean, it was just so silly. Is I saw your double like three times on that bike. It was too long of a shot. I'm like, oh my God, why are they holding on his double? It's his face. I see the double's face.
I remember Chris and the other stink guy loved that so much because Chris used to like compete in motocross. So he knew how to do everything. And it was like, he was so happy they were going to do a scene where they could just rip around and stuff. But yeah, I mean, he did all that actual riding for sure.
Yeah, we never knew that Pete and Clark could ride bikes like that. But you guys were just tearing it up in that woods, jumping through shit. I was like, good Lord. But then you fall through into this cave system. And we meet Kayla Willowbrook, beautiful Native American woman who's doing research in the caves, hears the fall and goes to help Clark. Clark mistakes her for Lana, and she's shocked to find out that Clark is unscathed from the 100-foot drop after ripping open his shirt.
Almost love at first sight.
As Pete yells from above to check on his friend, killing the moment between Clark and Kayla, she finds some cave drawings on the walls depicting the legend of Naaman.
So she just found him that one time.
That has got to be the most asinine thing I have ever seen. We've been looking for these
for 500 years.
They've been looking for these drawings for 500,000, whatever, years. And Tom falls through. She arrives immediately to greet him. And then she just notices all this shit going, oh my God, look what I found. What? What are you talking about?
We need another tally on this podcast for the number of times you say asinine.
It is asinine. Who are the ad wizards who came up with this one? The drawings are that she and her grandfather have been searching for years. Not only this, but one of the walls has an octagonal disc engraving. She explains the Naaman prophecy of falling from the skies and fire having the strength of 10 men and starting fire with his eyes.
So we're thinking, did anybody else start thinking, so someone from Krypton has been here before, left, and that's how Jor-El knew where Earth was and where to send Clark. Mm-hmm. We have to believe that's happening.
Yeah, I feel like there was some kind of correlation, right? There was some kind of connection there. So I kind of bought into that, and maybe it was meant to be that he was supposed to find these caves. I was suspending a lot of disbelief, but her walking in where she already was and just noted, oh my gosh! It's like me walking into my podcast room and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know I had a Jaws poster up there. I knew I had everything else, but I just didn't notice it. But haven't you been in this room a million times? Yeah, that's so weird.
Check it out.
Damn, who's that? Clark goes home to share his story with Jonathan, who doesn't see the correlation. Clark then pulls out a silver rectangle that Jonathan removed from the ship some time ago, saying that the same symbols are on the cave walls. And again, against his father's wishes, Clark invites the Willowbrooks to dinner.
I like the way that scene ended because Jonathan sees the correlation. He just wants to protect Clark and he's, you know, let's maybe not get into it. And, he says, Clark, you know, you got to be careful. We don't know these people. And Clark's like, yeah, that's why I invited him to dinner. And then he just leaves. Jonathan's like, oh. That was funny.
Joseph tells stories of the Kawachi people and more about Naaman. Clark shares that his mother works with Lionel and pushes Martha to speak to Lionel so that the new project doesn't destroy the caves. Later that night, up in the loft, Clark and Kyla talk more about the Kawachi legends. They look at the stars, and before Clark can lay one on her, Lana shows up.
Well, and before Clark knows what's happening, his hands being held. Mm. I mean, that became quite intimate pretty quick.
Yeah. Clark tries to convince Lana to get Henry Small involved to save the caves. Why is that?
What? Because he's like an activist.
Have we established that?
Yeah.
When did we establish that?
The first time we met him.
You mean a couple episodes ago?
Yeah.
For like a minute?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when she goes to confront him as, you know, my mom may have cheated on my dad with you and you might be my father. And he's like, I got a family. I can't do this.
And he also said, I'm an activist.
Somehow it comes up. Yeah,
it does.
It did.
Yeah. Okay. If you guys are cool with that, I'm going to move on. The next day at Luther Corp, Lionel shares his frustration with the Willowbrooks tampering with his project. Martha sympathizes with him. And before Lionel can seduce another redhead, Lex walks into the room to interrupt. Lionel asks Lex to be his business partner and Lex denies. Nice scene. And by the way, John Glover looked really ripped, really in shape, young, youthful.
You look great.
You know, it's amazing. He was probably 50. How old is John now?
70 something. Because we'll see John at conventions and stuff, and he'll do things, and we'll say something, and he'll be like, I'm old, damn it. I can do what I want. That's what he says now.
Yep. John Glover is 78 years old. So.
Minus 20.
21
years.
Figure 20 years. So 58, 57. He was 57 there. He looks great.
Yeah.
As construction continues above ground, Kyla and Clark continue to perform research in the caves. In this scene, we learn more about the legend by seeing a drawing of Sagath, brother of Naaman, who turns against him and becomes evil. The shaking from bulldozers above causes Kyla to fall from the wall of the caves. Clark super speeds down to catch her and uses his back to break a boulder from falling down and crushing her. After this, Kyla asks Clark if he can also shoot fire from his eyes. She realizes that Clark is Naaman, and the two start going at it.
Going at it?
Well, making out.
Smooching.
Did you enjoy that?
I must have. I honestly was trying to watch this show so quickly on my phone to get ready for the podcast. I think I missed that part.
Do you remember kissing her?
I don't remember kissing her, but this is why I'm so surprised. But I'm sure it happened.
Well, it did happen. We just watched it.
Yeah.
That day Talon, Lana thanks Henry Small for getting involved in the cave request. Henry then tells Lana that he received DNA results that confirm he is her father. I didn't know that was going to happen. I was kind of shocked.
That happened real quick.
That happened really fast.
Yeah.
And it was kind of emotional a little bit. It was like nice to see, you know, Lana going, oh my gosh, I have a father and I've missed out all this time. However, he still wants to earn that title in her life. Lana is giddy. Something's going to happen to him. He's got to die or something.
Yep.
You know something's going to happen. They can't keep him on for the rest of the show. I'm sorry. I am your father and I just found out I'm dying. Oh, bummer. Talkville is brought to you by AG1. Tom and I talk about this all the time. If you want to get healthy, if you want to feel better, if you want to have energy and focus, this is what we take and it helps us. And we talk about it all the time, but AG1, Talkville and AG1, they go hand in hand together. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. And that's why for a couple of years now, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day. And it helps us feel, I don't know, it helps me feel alive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I just took a weekend vacation with my family and I don't know, something was going on and I realized I hadn't brought my AG1. And when I got home, I literally drank one and I was like, oh, this is what I was missing. And that's the truth.
Well,
really
look,
was.
I mean, what people don't realize is, you know, instead of taking all these vitamin pills every day, and I hate swallowing pills, AG1 helps cover my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, which we all need, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know that if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost. And that's what Tom was talking about. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville.
That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out, and the travel packs are worth it.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Martha visits the job site to see if Joseph will sit down with Lionel to come to an agreement. However, he believes Lionel is a wolf in sheep's clothing. They get interrupted by Henry Small, who shows up to tell Joseph that they have a case against Luther Corp. But wait, they get interrupted by the sheriff, who arrests Joseph for the murder of the foreman from the opening of the show.
Very convenient.
Clark visits Lex in his office to try and raise bail money for Joseph, believing he's been framed. Lex is hesitant. Believing Clark is inspired to do this just because of Kyla, the two talk about the idea of destiny before Clark makes one more attempt to convince Lex. Back at the Talon, Lana is helping Clark with the Save the Cave fundraiser. Chloe shows up and the two girls talk about Clark's relationship with Kyla and the letters that Whitney and Lana have been writing each other. However, Whitney has stopped responding to her recent letters. They agree to stop chasing guys who are trying to save the world.
What's with guys and their emotions? The closer you get to them, the further away they get.
Yeah, seriously, you know? A lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Did you feel like when Kyla found out about Clark that something would happen to her too?
Yeah, I knew that story couldn't last. You know, something always happens to guest stars. You know, when Lex gets a girlfriend, some shit's going to go down. She'll fall out of a plane or, you know, and then Clark's going to meet. Yeah, exactly.
Some kind of contract is only up for one episode.
Yeah, we meet Ryan and Ryan goes away and Clark brings Lex down to the caves and Lex is blown away. Not only is he impressed by the paintings, but he also finds a particular octagonal engraving that piques his interest. This convinces Lex to side with the Save the Cave movement and bail out the suspected murderer, Joseph. That was cool. That was a little suspense. That was, you know, that was getting Lex involved in there. It's adding a little of the suspense and a little bit of like the cool factor.
Ryan likes those scenes because it talks about the future and stuff like that.
Yeah. That night at the torch, Chloe is looking into the death of the foreman and learns that the fragments of wolf teeth were found in his bones. She then pieces together that Kyla's family tribe name translates to skinwalkers, a Native American myth that people can transform into animals.
Do you think there's more than one, or do you think the whole tribe can do it?
I'm sure there's more than one. You know, I keep thinking of like, what's that movie? Twilight?
Yeah, it is.
Werewolves.
Yeah.
There's got to be more. At Luther Corp, we see Martha leaving the office to go home. As she gets into her car, that same white wolf from before pounces on the hood and barks at her through the windshield. It could have been so goofy, but she played that fear. She really
scared so well.
Oh, man. She was right into it. She got right into it. She's always just so money. Clark arrives home to his father, gives him grief for not being around much lately. They then talk about his relationship with Kyla. Man, you know, Jonathan's always giving people grief for not being around. Martha and Clark. It's like, come on. You guys are always leaving me. Good Lord.
If someone asks him to help, he's like, no,
I got it. Go do your thing. And then
Jumping back real quick to the last podcast, this resonated with me after we talked about it. When Martha gets the job and Jonathan's feeling like he's not getting the attention. And I realized that a lot of Jonathan's self-esteem is attached to him being able to do things and his wife, you know, his relationship with his wife. And so when he gets a broken leg and he can't do anything, his wife's not around. That was a big part of that episode. I think I missed when we did the podcast, but I think that's why he got so upset, because he was not useful. And I think that was a big part of it.
I was thinking something like that too. Mm-hmm. I really was thinking about that. And you said it first. Clark opens up on how Kyla may not be being 100% honest with him. Oh, the irony. The next day at Luther Manor, Lionel visits Lex, angry that he posted bail for Joseph and is supporting those damn tree huggers. Lex responds with an offer to buy out Lionel's position in the project and take it off his hands. Lionel denies his offer, understanding that Lex believes something there is valuable enough to acquire. That was a really good scene. It shows you that, you know, yeah, Lex is up to maybe no good.
It also, it's a precursor to later on in the episode when we find out that he's losing it anyway for 30 cents on the dollar. So he gets beat twice.
Yeah. In the Kent farm, Clark is visited by Kyla wearing a white cardigan. Clark asks her about skinwalkers. Kyla tells him that the story is about mysterious green rocks giving her people similar powers. She then gets mad at Clark for accusing Joseph of being a skinwalker or a skywalker. You know what's funny?
She didn't like that.
It was just so fast. Why do people have to be so, like, you don't just go, I knew it, and walk out. That's what I felt it was. It could have been like, Clark, really? Is this what's happening? I, you know, had a conversation. She just storms out. But, you know, whatever. You know, I'll let it go.
Well, it's and it's tough because we found out later Clark is right, too.
Yeah, that's true. Back at Luther Manor, Lionel is enjoying a drink by the fireplace when suddenly he hears banging and clawing at the door. A white wolf enters the room and comes face to face with Lionel. The wolf cuts his face.
Well, there were many, many different wolves. It sounded like howling, which is why I asked if you think that the old tribe.
But yes.
And notice that Lionel being blind looked right at the door where the sound was coming from.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. But I thought the scene
was like,
set
oh,
up
wait
cool.
a minute, my cane.
I liked how they, you know, here's what I did like. I'm going to say what I liked about this scene. I like the fact that Smallville tends to, the show would make things happen really fast a lot of times. It wouldn't kind of just relax for a minute. Let the characters breathe. Let the scene just kind of, all right, let it take, have some air. You know, it was always quick, you know, MTV type editing a lot of times. Yeah. And the moment with John Glover, with Lionel, just sitting there, pouring his drink, this big room, it built a little bit. I liked it. And I was like, noticing that I was enjoying just to be able to be like, okay, what's going to happen here?
A little suspense.
It was suspenseful. I like that.
Yeah, there was like some horror moments with the wolves, like with the Martha thing in the car. And like, they let those like play out and like they let the tension build.
Yeah, I thought the director did a really nice job.
Yeah.
Wolf cuts his face, but before it can injure Lionel more, Clark rushes in to stop the attack. I don't know why he was there.
I don't know how Clark knows to go there.
Yeah, why?
At all.
That was incredibly far. I was like, in fact, I thought to myself, while the scene was happening, right before you come in, I was like, well, who could save the day here? It's got to be someone else because Clark doesn't know to be here. Why would Clark show up at like 11:30 at night?
Did they cut a scene with him and Lex?
Maybe.
I don't know. You were there. I'm asking you.
Maybe.
Out of nowhere, for the first time this series, Luther security rushes in, rifle in hand, and scares off the wolf.
No, they were the cops.
Where's Lex? Did he take another Ambien? And why is Lionel in Lex's office? I guess he's still sticking. I don't know what the hell's
going on. There must have been a scene where it's like, we got to go talk to my dad, Clark. And Clark's like, I'll meet you there. And Lex is like, where'd he go? And then Lex calls the police like, I think my dad's in trouble. Let's say that all those things happen.
The wolf jumps through a window to make an escape, badly cutting itself in the process. Clark rushes to the woods to track down the wolf, believing it to be Joseph. Sadly, we see the wolf transition back into its human form, Kyla. Clark rushes to her aid, but it's too late. Kyla dies.
I'm pretty sure we shot that indoors, that whole, I think they created an indoor wooden thing. And I remember thinking like, wow, this is very creative. Because if you notice, you can't see our breath or anything.
The next day, Lionel shows up to check on the project and we find Clark holding up the crew. Even though Clark saved Lionel, Lionel's frustrated that he's still preventing work from being done. Martha tells Lionel that her son is more important than this project and goes to join Clark in protest. I like that Martha says, that's up to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was cool. That was, she's brave and she's like, this is how I roll. And I think Lionel's sort of impressed because it's like nobody talks to him like that. Nobody can give him what he wants. And usually you want something you can't get, right? A lot of times you're like,
Well, also earlier, I don't think we talked about it. Lionel has the scene with Martha where he says that sometimes he thinks he's talking to his wife because of her honesty and stuff like that. So I thought that was
cool. Hey, it's Al.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Mr. Rosenbaum, how are you?
Do you think Miles he's gets upset that we don't call him? Could we call him too?
Well, he's in London right now, so probably not.
I almost did. I was like, I don't want him to feel left out.
Ask him what the sequel to Wednesday is going to be.
Is the sequel to Wednesday next season going to be Thursday?
you've cracked the code. Exactly. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And oh man. Look, so we're in the episode Skinwalkers.
Oh, right.
And none of us hated it by any means. Tom actually liked it. I liked a lot of things about it. There were certain moments of, you know, things that were just incredulous that I was like, you know, but, you know, you let those slide. But ultimately, what were you going after in terms of like with the octagonal disc?
So what season two was, and we'll get, you know, you'll get to it as you get into Rosetta and the end of the season. It is the adopted child starting to look into his birth parents, right? And his origins. And what we wanted to establish, what we'll get to, is that Kryptonians visited Earth before. And that these caves, you know, they're because obviously there's a lot of Kryptonian symbols and things like that.
That's what we said. Yeah. Okay. We said that.
Yeah. So the caves were really the first step to, oh, they've been here before. And maybe the fact that Clark ended up in Smallville wasn't completely happenstance. Do you know what I mean?
So right.
It's like something that happens, which I think we actually get to in a later season. There's an episode where Tom, you might remember where, like, I think it's like young Jarell visits Smallville, and
yeah,
maybe Jonathan's son. I remember there was an episode where we tried to tie it to that. So the Clark's being sent to Smallville wasn't by accident. So, but this was really about, in a show where we were, and you have to remember back in those days, remember the comic books and mythology were kind of dirty words. Nobody was, you know, so we were trying to really introduce that aspect to the show, which was Clark's Kryptonian heritage and what would that look like, and Kryptonians had visited Earth before. So he wasn't just randomly shot out into space and crashed there.
Let me ask you, did the wolf attack in Lionel's office, was there any hint at you wanting the audience to think, wait a minute, is he not blind?
We tried to play with that the whole season, which was, and I think you brought it up in the episode where he sees the spaceship where,
yes,
I think it was Joe Morton,
yep,
showed him the spaceship. And what we always wanted to play with Lionel, it's always a thing of he's blind, but is he, you know? So it's just, it's something that we wanted to play with to keep the audience guessing. And
it keeps me guessing as we're rewatching it. I keep wondering. It's sort of like my thing.
That's really what we were going for there.
Gotcha. Do you think Kyla could have been more of a valuable asset to the storyline if she stayed alive? I mean, was there any thought of that?
I don't think we would have killed her in the episode. I think we would have kept her at least. She could have done an arc because I think there's probably more to have. And to be honest, I thought that she and Tom had good chemistry. You know what I mean? It's always one of those things in hindsight where I'm like, oh, we could have kept Kyla around and she could have had more.
A job at the Talon.
If you're doing it today, you totally would have done that as opposed to thinking of these things episode by episode in some respects, you know? So I think in hindsight, we would have kept her alive and she probably could have, you know, had an arc in that season. I don't think she would have lasted beyond the season, but I think she could have lasted. Sorry, Tom, I hear you.
Tom, you got to wait till he's done talking because he can't hear you interrupt. Like I hear you interrupt me. Go ahead, Tom.
How did Clark know to go to Lionel's office to break up the wolf attack?
Dude, I, I'm just going to remind you.
He doesn't remember.
That episode was written in 2001 or 2002.
Do you remember having any problems with the episode? Was it a difficult one to sort of navigate through, write, and shoot?
I think the thing was, because we were introducing the caves, and I remember, and I don't think I realized this until we went up there, was like that cave set, which I know became the Fortress of Solitude set, was in this very like long, thin soundstage. Like when you see it on screen, it doesn't read that, but it was like, wow, it was super claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Here's what it was. I don't think we built that set to play I didn't think we were going to use it as much as we ended up using it. So I think it's like the hospital set. It's a set that it kind of got better as it went, but it's a set that we ended up using until season four, right? When the fortress came along. So, I don't think we really long term thought we'd be in the caves as much as we ended up being in the caves.
Uh-huh.
Well, and Lex always had the perfect footwear to walk on those wood chips. I remember that was a thing. You couldn't walk in there.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember that. Al, what was I going to say? This is great. We don't want to keep you too long here. And we always learn a lot from you and some insight. There was one other thing by the way, you're going to be coming over to the house to do an interview on an Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, you and Miles.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I'm going to have them talk about Wednesday and talk about Smallville and talk about all the things they're doing.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, I can't wait.
So wait.
Yeah, well, give Miles our love, and thank you for answering our questions.
No problem. Good to talk to you both.
Bye.
Take care.
See you.
Bye, Al. Love you.
Love you. Other members of the Kwachi tribe arrive. Joseph thanks Clark for being there for Kyla and gives him her bracelet, the same one that is supposed to belong to Naman's true love. Lex then arrives at the job site and tells Lionel that the state has declared the caves as historic artifacts and is purchasing the land from Lionel at 3 cents on the dollar of his initial investment. The episode ends in Clark's loft as Lana comes to pay her respect for Kyla's death. It's apparent that Lana is distraught, and she reveals to Clark what Whitney's mother called to her to tell her that he is missing in action.
That I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. That was emotional.
Yeah.
You just found out your dad's alive. And then she's like, it just hasn't. And I was like, what? What is she talking about? And it's really horrible news.
Reaction was like, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to hug you. That's all you could do. Mm-hmm. That was really good. That was really good. So there were some good moments. Mm-hmm. When Al discusses or articulates to us how the caves, were visited by the Kryptonians many moons ago, it all makes sense. We were sort of insinuating that earlier, and we were thinking that. I just wonder if it translated to the audience. I don't know. I don't know this. How, when you guys watched it, are all these things new to you that you're hearing that Al say, or is it something that you're like, what is going on? I know there's a parallel and they're telling the story, but why are we here? I think there's part of me that's 1 foot in, 1 foot out of this kind of scenario.
It felt like this episode had a couple things that needed to happen, and it's like a song that, I don't know, maybe this is true. You come up with a riff, and now the challenge is to find words that fit it. Or you come up with words and you're trying to get a riff to fit it. Or you're putting a song together and you know where you want to go, you just don't know how to get there. So you put things in there just to bridge it somehow.
And sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense, but you just have to get from A to B, and like you're not worried. Yeah, and filmmaking, that's a little harder for people to let go of. But, music, they're like, oh, and what is he talking about? It doesn't matter. I like the music. They're distracted. So, but whatever. I understand that analogy. Interesting things to note, not a whole lot. Clark invites Pete to race him to Miller's Bend. That's Miles Miller.
Uh-huh.
Tamara Feldman is a native.
Millar's Bend.
It's
Millar's
Miller.
Bend. Miller's Bend.
His name is Miles Miller.
Miller.
There was a guy named Bob Lamar. No, I don't know. Fuck it.
Whose dirt bikes were those?
Who knows?
Like, who?
How would I know that?
Where did they come from?
Dirt bikes were those?
No, in town. Like in the town of Smallville.
Maybe they're Pete's. The Ross family owned them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought about that?
Pete was a dirt... Yeah, yeah. Why are they riding dirt bikes?
I don't know either. But I just thought, I'll let that go. It's when he dives into a cave.
Was it because we're in the heyday of the X Games? Is that why? And Travis Pastrana was all the rage?
Jeez.
I'm on this fit right now where I just miss Pete. Like every episode, I just see when he shows up, and then I'm always like, where'd he go? It's so much fun when he's there.
Yeah.
When you're breaking into places.
Tamara Feldman is a native of Kansas, and her first credit as an actor is in this episode of Smallville. You know what? I will say this. I thought she did a great job for her first time. I really did. But I definitely noticed that she was, you know, she was new. Like, I noticed that I didn't think this was her first job. I thought maybe this was her, like, fourth job, fifth job. Like, she had acted before, but I knew that she didn't have a lot of experience. I could tell there were certain scenes, but I think they got enough out of her, and I think she did a good job. But I could tell that she was definitely, you know, this was the beginning for her, which I hope she went on to do tons of great stuff. Kyla goes stargazing in his loft. She points out a star which is now missing. This is a reference to Rao, as it was destroyed as part of Clark's origin story.
I didn't even get that connection. Thanks for pointing that out, Bryce.
These are the top tier patrons. We're going to go to Garrett W. first. Patreon.com/Talkville. Here's your question, Grant. Garrett, Talkville hat, nice.
Hi there, this is Garrett from Wisconsin, and my question is for the episode Skinwalker. Michael and Tom, do you remember the legend of Naaman and Sagith from rewatching this? And Ryan, would you consider yourself more of a Naaman or a Sagith? Thanks, guys.
Do you guys remember this legend storyline? And Ryan, are you more of a Naaman or a Sagith?
I don't understand the question.
Naaman is like the guy who's destined to have these powers and like a Superman like Tom. Oh. And Sagith is kind of the bad one, right?
Oh, jeez.
He asked Ryan specifically.
Why? Because I didn't understand.
You'd say Naaman probably.
I would hope Naaman. Hoping, yeah.
Yeah. Bob K. All right, Garrett, thank you for being a top tier patron supporting the podcast. It means a ton to us. Thanks for the short question. Jeez, nice job, Bob.
Guys, Bob from New York here. My question has to do with the dog / wolf. He seemed pretty vicious at a few moments there, but to tell the truth, he was probably a sweetheart that was just very well trained. So what's the story on that dog?
First of all, Bob, I'm from New York, and I can just tell you from the East Coast, and I love your accent. It's hilarious. It's not hilarious. It's just like, you sound like, you know, you're a tough guy. You're like, look, here's the deal. How was the wolf on set? Was it an aggressive dog? Or was it I love your accent. So they're like, just like, you know, I like it, man. Nice job. I didn't work with the wolf. Tom?
What I remembered about the wolf was it was big. It was a wolf. I mean, and you don't see, if you've ever been with a wolf, it's they're a lot bigger than you even think they are. And you don't play with the dog on set. They don't, you know, the dog is trained and it's only supposed to listen to the master. They don't, a lot of times with dogs on set, they don't feed them for a long time, like maybe a day or two before they get to set. So they pay attention to their trainer. And I remember just being like, wow, that's really cool. I'm not in this scene. All right, cool. I'm going to F off.
You know, yeah, Bob, thanks for that question. And I love that accent. It makes me miss home. My grandmother and my family, all from New York. Yeah, I got the New Yorker.
He sounds like my old soccer coach sounded exactly like
that.
That's
what I was like. Bob, keep calling
from
us.
From Long Island.
Here's Lana W.
Hey, guys. It's Lana, rhymes with banana, W, from Bakersfield, California. I was just wondering where the idea of the caves, all the symbols, is it in the comic books, perhaps? Because it never quite made sense with the whole Superman to be thing. Love you guys. Love Talkville. Have a great week. Keep up the good work, and I'll see you next week.
You know what? I will say Al pretty much answered that question for you. That's about the extent of what we know. And Al just, so sorry, we don't have more of an answer, but that was Al's. But thank you, Lana, Banana Lana. This is Kyla. This is Kyla. Her name is Kyla. That's who she says she's Kyla. What if it was actually Kyla?
Hi, my name is Kyla. Yes, my real name. I am from Washington State. Do you feel Kyla could have been a more valuable asset to the storyline of Clark's journey, or did she meet a timely end? Thank you.
Oh, you know, Al answered that one as well. I asked that question. And maybe it was because of you, Kyla. But honestly, it could have been interesting to have her on for a few more episodes.
But it couldn't have just been a continuation. They would have had to go, they would have to break this whole story out. Because once you find out who Clark is, then what? Now they run around together as like Cape Crusaders? You know what I mean? Like, she couldn't have just been in the following episode. It would have had to be a broader storyline.
I don't know if I agree with it. I mean, look, he's the creator. But like, looking at it, I think like, the show works when these characters are sort of intertwined and their stories kind of run into each other. And when we start drifting away from the character development of all these characters that we've come to love through the first season, and we're now in a, you know, in this different story, and if you stay, you know, if it was you and Kyla, that would mean it'd be less of you and Lana, and all of a sudden it starts a new character and what's going on. And I don't know if it would have worked.
What they could have done is maybe some version of it was actually her father who dies. And we just, you know, elongate the story a little bit and she can stick around and give a little tension to the Clark Lana. That could have been it.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Audra from Louisiana. I noticed that it was directed by a female director, Marita. She also directed one of my favorite episodes in season 3, Relic. And I was just wondering if you guys, especially Tom, noticed the difference when she would direct. She's kind of known for doing like romance movies.
I think she directed an episode down the road where it was the 1950s and Clark and Lana that's what Al was talking about. That Jor-El comes down and falls in love with somebody who's identical, like basically Lana. And I think this director directed that one. I remember her just being lovely. There is a little bit of a difference on set, I guess, because there's not so much maybe, you know, fist pumping and stuff, maybe. I don't know. I just remember her being very kind and very sensitive to the heart of the story.
Did she wear in the best way? Do you remember her? I think she put on a bald cap, a Lex bald cap for.
Oh, that's her. Yeah, that's right.
Man, I liked working with her. She has such a great energy, and I think she did a really good job.
Yeah, Tom, you're right. She directed that episode in season 3, episode 6, it says.
Hi, guys. This is Bree from Portland, Oregon. It's one of my favorite episodes of season 2. How familiar were you both with the Superman mythology? And did you understand at that point in the series how important these caves would be in the rest of the series?
No. I didn't realize it. I honestly didn't. And hearing Al talk about it, that's why I sort of thought, like, I wonder how many people really thought this. And I think it was a really good idea and the intention was good and it was cool mythologically. However, I'm not sure it was a boom, this storyline hit a home run. I thought it was like, okay, I'm ready for this storyline to end. But maybe, like he says, as we get to Rosetta, maybe this will come full circle and we'll appreciate it more now that we've started it. Maybe it just takes a minute to get used to this world and maybe it will, you know, we'll explore it and like it more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm optimistic.
Well, yeah, it was just a little awkward getting into it because of the motorcycle fall. But I think I see what they were going for with Clark getting interested in his past. And this is sort of an interesting tie-in to like the mythology of Smallville. Also,
yeah, the execution, like the execution was awful. Just awful. There's no reason why we should have had them riding bikes. He jumps, falls through the ground into the cave where we're now going to be for the next year. It's like it should have been something where like he falls, something happens, he sees something else that triggers this and it opens a door to whatever that he was, or maybe he uses his X-ray vision. He sees something that sparks his interest. He pulls it open with his strength and it reveals this or whatever. And it's hidden. I don't know.
You could have had them riding bikes at night and Clark goes left and Pete goes right. And then he falls in there and he somehow Clark's unconscious and it's not till the next day he's found. And I don't know. I have another question. Is mythologically a word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mythologically? I don't know. I just said it. I'd never used it before, but thank you. Here's John. Let's see, John. Hi, John. I have a doctor, John. Works on my back, John.
Hi, this is John in Seattle, Washington. When Lionel's attacked by the wolf, do y'all think this is the first hint that Lionel isn't blind anymore?
Ah, we talked about that too. The blind thing. I mean, you heard Al. He says we want the people to think, is he blind? Is he not blind throughout the series? So, you know, Tom was right early on. I didn't know, but I think, you know, there was kind of that ambiguous sort of, is he not? So
I wonder if they even told John that, because maybe you just don't even tell John that.
Yeah.
I wonder.
John's so gifted, though. He probably did it on his own. He probably made his own.
Hello, Sherry from Virginia. Was it a real wolf or CGI? Thanks.
Damn it. It looks so real. How could it be CGI? I thought it was real. There's no way they can make that CGI then.
If I remember, I thought it looked like when the wolf jumped out of the window, it looked to me like the actual breaking glass may have been added after the fact. I don't think they made that wolf go through or even a candy glass with it.
Last question is in an international. Our friend from France, this is Brandy. I thought Kyla and Clark being portrayed as an epic romance was a bit absurd after knowing each other a few days. What did you guys think?
I liked it. I liked what she said. When he finally tells her, or she gets it, and the way she reacts is the way Clark has always wanted someone to react. And she says, I know, because I know what it feels like to be different. I thought that Clark's been yearning for this sort of thing a long time. And he says, it's a whole different feeling when you like someone and they like you back for who you are.
I agree with you. And I also think that her infatuation with him made sense, because she thinks he's sort of the savior. This is who she's destined to, you know, this guy is destined to save the world. And this is who she's been waiting for. And her people have been waiting for. She's enamored. She's got this, like, I finally found this. And this is my Adonis in blue jeans. You know, I don't know. I went for it. Rosenbaum rating.
Then a country song, Adonis in blue jeans.
There is a song that says that, I think.
It's a good country line.
You like that?
Yeah.
Adonis in blue jeans. I think it was a song. It was like, you know what it was? Adonis in blue. I don't know what it was. Rosenbaum rating. We're going to go with Ryan.
With me? I liked it. I mean, there are parts of it that are absurd. But I am still going to give it 1.5.
That's incredible.
I'm going 1.5.
That's incredible. Okay.
You know, real quick, it just occurred to me, there's no kryptonite in this episode. There could have been kryptonite in the cave or anywhere.
Thank God. That's a positive.
I'm going to give it a 1. It was fine.
Well, by the way, you say fine. 1's a good score. 1, it means you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
1.5 means you really enjoyed it.
I didn't hate it.
A half rose is like, I enjoyed it. You know, it was better than... In the middle, it was, and I'm going to give it that. I'm going to give it a half a rose, which is a lot better than my 2 bombs from last week.
I think we're circling around the same thing.
Yeah. So that's good. Death and save count. 2 people died. Kyla Willebrook killed a Luther Corp employee and later kills, and later she kills herself, kind of, by jumping through the window inadvertently. 1 saved. Clark saved Lionel. Through 10 episodes in season 2, 12 dead, 17 saved, series 42 dead, 52 saved. And now Ryan's favorite scene.
My 3 scenes are the cold open, the scene with with Lionel working out, and number 3 is the wolf showdown with Lionel and his scotch.
Wait, you didn't pick Lex and Clark in the caves looking at all the I would have thought that was going to be one of yours. Okay.
I didn't. I think that's why I must have misunderstood the cape painting part.
Go ahead, Tom. What do you pick?
Number 2. I think you liked watching Lionel work it out.
I like the third one, Lionel with the wolf.
No, I liked the cold open. I thought that was fun and exciting. I liked the wolf part.
I thought you hated the opening.
No, I liked it. Did I give that off?
Yeah. Didn't you feel that way, Tom?
Yeah, you were like, where'd they get the motorcycles? That was like your biggest complaint.
That was not the cold open. No, the cold open is the wolf showdown, like the guy and the foreman.
Oh, yeah. We weren't paying attention. What are you drinking out of?
Oh, yeah.
What is that, Tom? What are you drinking out of?
This is yours. It's like an energy drink, but it's your cup.
Oh, it's an Asahi mug. You can get those on the Inside of You online store.
Keeps it cold.
Yeah. No, I liked the wolf. I thought that was a fun opening, and I was in. It ended with an explosion. I was in. It was great.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Shoot, I would have picked that if I thought you were talking about the motorcycles.
No.
Or the whatever, dirt bikes. Darn it.
All right. Well, look, guys, it was fun. We had Al Goff here. We had some good conversations. There were some good moments in this episode. We had some thoughts, some great questions on the hotline from you guys. And that's it for the episode. Stick around next week as we have an extremely special guest. And we talk about season 2, episode 11, Visage or Visage? How do you pronounce it?
Are you going to get a visage before you watch it?
Visage.
Visage.
Mm.
It's visage. A person's face with reference to the form of proportions of the features. Visage. You guys are wrong. And let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast, at Talkville Pod. You know how important it is. Write a review. Subscribe to the podcast. Go to TalkvillePodcast.com. Get some cool merch, some cool artwork signed by me and Tom. There's only like 15 left or less of the those signed ones. And Patreon.com/Talkville to support us more and keep this podcast going. We love doing this. We love you guys. If you want more info like merch from the show on our hotline number, blah, 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 you can find all that in the description. Anywhere you listen to podcasts and mostly on YouTube. And wow, I guess that's it. I guess there's only one thing to say. Always hold on to Smallville. Thanks, guys, for listening and watching and supporting us. Tommy, good seeing you, buddy.
Thank you. Good to see you. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. See you. All right. These are our lovable patrons, top tier patrons who really give back to the show and couldn't do it without you. Patreon.com/talkville. We shout out your names every show and there's other perks and fun and we really love you and thank you. So Tom, take it away. Let's do it. Let's read out these shout outs.
We got Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Janine R, Santiago M, Leah S, Little Lisa, Thomas the Leaf Blower, Sophie M, Betsy D, Liliana. A.
You got it?
Abhi P. Michael H. Ray H. Karen Apple M. Danielle B. And 99 more. I'm not going to say the next one.
Lalani. La 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 Lani.
Rhymes with Lalani.
I love you. Lonnie N. Brett G. Always hold on to Smallville. Esteban G. DJ Canto. Garrett W. Kimberly L. Justin S. Tom N. Tony V. Rodolfo V. Jason W. Osama A, Lana, rhymes with banana, W, Nancy D, what up, girl, Brian G, Justin T, and Lucy O, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Ryan R, Grumpyitis, Jordan M, Hillary B, Craig G, Christy R.
Wow, he only took like one breath that whole time. Pollyanna, Karen P, Derek G, Jor L, Richard S, Heather and Greg, Nico P, I made Talkville say butts. Brian H, Eric K, Clark's mom, Martha, Kristen B, Takashi M, Kevin E, Nunning W, Stephanie K, Darth, Achilles, Finky, Tito G, Mickey T, Stephen F, damn, who's that? Jeanette E, Deadvid, Allison H, General Zod, Theodore, Lucian, formerly Krog.
Krog?
The Daily Planet goes to 11.
Erichilles? Erichilles. Yeah, Arachelles R. Arachelles R. Big D. John Glover's Luscious Mane. Doug R. Tommy Z. Boston 68. Isabel. Sager S. Corey L. Ivy and Sam. Hi. Mr. Home Arcade. Cal T. Amanda K. Jessica C. Lumberjack. Claire M. Fourth favorite character underscore. Zoe. Scott S. D. Brown. Joshua W. Alice Be Kind. Please rewind. Karenira M. Hi, Karen Ira M. Eldon Supremo. Sarah Q2. Leslie V. Tatiana S. Robert G. Natalia G. Julie Jules. That's one I with Julie. McBurts. Ginger. Moose. Leslie and Jordan. Oleg G. Christoph S. Katie B. Michelle M. And Drew. There you go.
Thanks,
those
Drew.
Are the top tiers.
Thanks,
I love
Drew.
Reading off all these names. Thank you guys for all the love. Tom?
Thank you so much. Helping out a lot.